All right, guys, we have much to talk about today. There has been big news regarding Lizzo, and there has now been a lawsuit filed against her, her dance captain, and many other people involved with her production based off of dancers saying a multitude of really crazy allegations. So let's talk about it. All right, guys, happy Wednesday and welcome to the show. We have Taylor in Nashville.
Happy Wednesday. Can't wait to dive into this exciting topic today.
It's going to be a fun one. This was definitely not on my 2023 bingo card, but here we are talking about Lizzo yet again. We have Spencer in the producer's bay.
What's up? I'm back.
And, you know, we are not shy when it comes to talking about Lizzo on this show. I think we've covered her on numerous occasions. One, because of an acceptance speech she did at, I believe, the VMAs, talking about how oppressed she is as she's winning this award on stage and saying that as much as she loves them voting for her music, they should also go out and vote against some of the laws that oppress Black women like her. She's been a massive proponent of the body positivity movement and coming forward to talk about health at all sizes and how she loves being a big girl and a representative of the body positivity movement. She also, played a 200-year-old flute that belonged to one of our founding fathers, I believe, and twerked while she was playing it. So she's no stranger to being covered on this show. And now the internet is going insane because there has been a lawsuit filed against her by a number of dancers who have previously worked with Lizzo, saying that she created a hostile work environment, not just herself, but others that were around and in leadership positions when it came to her tour and the things that they were doing. They are making claims of sexual harassment, religious harassment, and just in general, a hostile work environment. So we're going to get into this. I don't want to let my already, you know, maybe preconditioned bias against Lizzo inform my opinion about this lawsuit, because I think that's what a lot of people are doing right now. They already dislike Lizzo for some of the statements that they made, and now that they see this lawsuit coming out, they're jumping on it and hating on her for it. Let's get into the stories and see what we find, and then we can decide what we think about this lawsuit against her. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts in the comments down below, so drop them. Now, I don't even want to read the title on this page six argument article because it's insane. We're going to sort of bring it down to a more family-friendly discussion about what's happened here. Apparently, while Lizzo was out on tour, and specifically in the city of Amsterdam, she and her fellow dancers visited what are very common in Amsterdam, specifically in the red light district, sex shows, where you can go and watch individuals engage in sexual activity right in front of your very eyes. And Lizzo apparently had her dancers go to this sex show, encourage them to engage with the performers, shall we call them, in ways that clearly made these dancers uncomfortable. Now, this not only happened on one occasion in Amsterdam, it also happened at a separate show that I believe was a nude cabaret that Lizzo had her dancers attend in Paris. Now, a couple of the allegations here as far as the activity that she asked them to get up to. One of the dancers was asked to touch the nude breasts of one of the performers at these shows. There's also allegations that Lizzo had encouraged them, I don't even know how to say this, to eat bananas, you know, the fruit, out of a performer's private parts. While one of these sex shows was going on. So when you hear this, I'm definitely, one of my first thoughts is certainly that this is not safe for work activity. And this to me would constitute sexual harassment if you as an employer are urging your employees to do this. They're not necessarily in a position to engage with you and to give consent in any sort of proper way, given the power dynamics of the employer-employee relationship. So this is apparently what these girls have gone through. Another dancer alleges that Lizzo is in fact fat phobic, I guess, and that there were statements, veiled statements, about her weight gain and how it somehow made her unfit to be a dancer, that she wasn't in fact putting in the same amount of effort as the other dancers around her. Now, am I believing this allegation that, you know, Lizzo, the bastion of body positivity, is in fact talking down to dancers about their weight? I don't know. I don't know that the example that this dancer has given in some of these articles that are covering this is going to hold up in court, if this even makes it to court. But that's another of the accusations being made here. And a big one is that Lizzo was apparently unhappy with their dancers and the performance and decided, we are going to have a re-audition process where you guys will re-audition right in front of me and I will decide whether or not you get to keep your job. According to the dancers, this ended up being a 12-hour process where one of them felt so uncomfortable with the situation and was so scared of losing her position as a dancer on Lizzo's team that she urinated on herself and decided not to go to the bathroom to do that. So that's just the top of what we're dealing with here. Of course, the media is running with the fatphobic angle on this because Lizzo is known to make statements like this.
The term body positive technically, it only exists because of body shaming, you know? I think that people should naturally be body positive, and body positivity should be something that is like built in our culture.
I had a song called I'm In Love With Myself, and I put that out in like 2015, and I was performing it on stage, and it would shock people. They would be like, oh my God, how dare she, or wow, she's so brave, or is she serious? Does she really love herself? And I'm like, why y'all asking all these damn questions? Like, what are you questioning about me and my body and right. my love for myself? So at this point, I realize that my mere existence is a form of activism, especially in the body positive community. And I wear that hat really well with, or not wear that hat at all, according to this.
So there you go. And, you know, we've seen these statements from Lizzo time and time again. It really is the keystone in what is a massive career that she has built in the music industry. And she has made it her life's goal to talk about the body positivity movement and to usher it forward. So if the dancers can substantiate that she has, in fact, made comments or, you know, let them know that their weight gain is too much, that would be fascinating. But I will say, as far as what I've read in these documents, it doesn't seem like that is the case. Now, in the wake of these allegations being made and this lawsuit being brought forward, tons of other people that have worked in the same circles as Lizzo, that have worked on her projects, are coming forward and stating that even though they are not on this lawsuit, they are seconding what these women are saying, that she does create a hostile work environment, and so do the people on her team, and specifically her dance captain. So this is not looking good, ladies and gentlemen. And I think there's a number of things that might happen here. Her PR team is working overtime. I don't know who's working harder right now than Lizzo's PR team. And I have a feeling they will settle this outside of court.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you think so too?
Yeah.
Because there's too much. This is too much here. And it's getting too much press. And if I were Lizzo, I would want this to go away and go away immediately and quietly if I could manage to have that happen. But we will see. There's definitely some crazy stuff going on here. Taylor, I know you're super interested in this story, so give us your take.
Yeah, I mean, well, it sounds like she's definitely gonna not want to have her accusers take the stand in court and put all this on the record, so I agree that she'll probably want this to be buried through settling it. But yeah, you know, on its face, or on her face, I guess, the Lizzo's whole brand of, you know, being a bigger person, but still accepting yourself, still being happy and all that stuff. It's like there is a wholesome element to that. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's just really not a good look and really undermines your whole brand. When she's not only really taken that beyond its extreme, really, and beyond just self-acceptance and been into like the fat positivity space, but she's been really active and vocal politically. You referenced her VMA speech and other, you know, just that she did the, had brought drag queens up with her on stage to protest Tennessee's bill. So if you're going to set yourself up as this sort of activist, this paragon of, you know, justice and virtue, and you know, at the VMA, she said, we have to vote against all these laws that are oppressing us. And then it turns out that you're oppressing your own people, allegedly, or at least they're saying that, and other people who've worked with you are kind of corroborating that you create this toxic work environment. It just undercuts your credibility. It has the same energy as, you know, we always talk about the celebrities who fly on the private jets and then lecture us about climate change and stuff. So there's the hypocrisy element. There's the sex positivity element that just gone awry. This is, you know, it's one thing to sort of, oh, I'm going to be scantily clad and still be proud of myself, even though I'm big. It's another thing to be like forcing your dancers to do the disgusting things that they were allegedly forced to do.
Yeah.
And then I also think there may be just like a drunk on fame and power element where you think that the rules that apply to the rest of society or the rest of the world just don't apply to you. And, you know, you can be advocating against oppression in society, but when it comes to how you run your own operation and treat your own people, you can kind of just have a double standard there. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, it seems like there's a deep sense of entitlement sort of baked into all of this. And if you are Lizzo, a woman who has risen to fame so very quickly and is backing all these movements and is able to influence so many people so quickly, you might feel a sense of entitlement towards what other people do. You might even have a little bit of a savior complex for being this sort of big woman who's managed to go against the grain and, you know, become successful despite the Eurocentric standard that America has set for its celebrities. And you're bringing all of these other large women with you to do this whole thing that you're doing. And she had that whole show about big girls and them being performers and dancing, all this stuff. So she feels maybe like the gatekeeper to their success, which would maybe lead to some of the actions that have been alleged in this lawsuit, where she's having them do 12-hour auditions where one of them is peeing on themselves. You know, I also do think, you know, people maybe need to learn to stand up for themselves a bit. I'm not trying to victim blame here, but also if I was a woman undergoing this sort of situation, I would be like, for a check? You want me to do that? You want me to do this for a check? I'm sorry. And I get there's an element of maybe coercion here. And of course, there is the power structure and dynamic between an employer and the employed, and that should not be ignored. And I have a feeling that if many of these allegations do get to see the light of day in court and are substantiated, she will be held accountable for them, and as she should be. Because if this was happening in an everyday workplace, we would view this as sexual harassment. You've never thought, let me go to a sex show with my boss and see what's going on there. But it seems like these women have stacked up their complaints and are ready to come at her full force. So it will be interesting. And to the speech that Taylor referenced, let's hear Lizzo say it. Let's hear it from the horse's mouth.
I don't know what music video for good means, but I do know what your vote means. And that's a lot. Your vote means everything to me. It means everything to making a change in this country. So remember, when you're voting for your favorite artist, vote to change some of these laws that are oppressing us. I want to say thank you so much for supporting me and loving on me. And now, to the that got something to say about me in the press.
You can just feel the energy on this, and it's just like entitlement. I can't deal with it. I'm so sorry. That's the vibe that she gives me. Again, I'm not going to let it influence my views on this lawsuit. She is innocent until proven guilty. So there is always that, and I will always stand by that. But oof, my gosh, do I think this personality type gives way to this sort of behavior? Absolutely. And with the whole sex shows and all these things that these dancers are alleging, I mean, it's no wonder to me that modern performers and women like this are going to watch, you know, people prostituting themselves in order to gain inspiration for the performances that they do on stage. That seems to be the preamble to them going to these shows, is that Lizzo thought this was going to be a place and a healthy environment for them to gain inspiration as to how they should perform in her shows. And when you watch things like, I don't know, y'all remember when Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion performed that WAP song or whatever at, I want to say the VMAs, but I don't know, some award show, where they're literally wearing little to nothing, they are grinding on each other on stage. I swear, sometimes if you click the wrong channel, I feel like I'm being sexually assaulted by what I'm seeing on TV. So it's no wonder that they're having their dancers go to sex shows to, like, see what they can bring to the stage. And should somebody have warned her that in the position of an employer, you should not do that with your employees? She should have got that warning, maybe. And should have maybe realized that that is not a good idea. Or at the very least, had them sign consent forms for that, because
NDAs or something.
Yeah, and it's,
go ahead.
It's funny because she has a song called "Rumors" where she talks about, like, all the rumors are true, and, you know, like, we have NDAs and all this stuff, and, like, obviously I don't think this is what she thought was going to happen to her, but the song aged like milk.
Oh, the irony. Yeah. I was just going to say, as you mentioned the Cardi B performance and stuff, you reminded me of Sam Smith and him at the Grammys. And we still have angry comments of people who are mad that we showed some of that on our channel just because it was such a disgusting eyesore to be subject to.
Yeah.
But a lot of these, you know, there's this weird element of, like, hypersexualization, and, you know, going as far as been gone before is not enough. So now we need to dress up like the devil and wear thongs and do all these absurd, lewd dances. And it gets into this thing that we talk about on occasion, is this transgressive culture, this desire on the part of celebrities to just be provocative for provocation's sake, and to just push things further than they've gone before. Lil Nas X did that with his, you know, giving a lap dance to the devil music video and all this stuff. And there's sort of, like, just some really dark, weird stuff that, you know, it's better not to go there. And if you are going to go there as an artist, like you said, like, maybe don't force it on the employees that are working for you.
Yeah, tread lightly. And it's going to be interesting to watch how quickly people flip. Because, as I said before, Lizzo is peak when it comes to some of these movements. She's peak when it comes to the amount of support she has from the general public because of her leftism and because of how forward she is in her beliefs. And I think very quickly you are going to see people turn on her if they have not already. And like I said, innocent until proven guilty. We'll see what happens. Although I do believe she's just going to settle on this one. That will be my prediction for what is going to happen here.
That's the smartest decision.
It is the smartest, yeah. And nobody, like I said, it wasn't on my bingo card for this year. I was not expecting this sort of downfall. But so many celebrities are getting heat right now. You guys have all heard the Ariana Grande drama that is happening right now. We're briefly going to touch on this because I feel like this is somewhat old news, but several of you asked to see this story covered. I know Candace did this whole episode about how Ariana Grande is a homewrecker. And given her personal history and her relationship history, I'm not going to deny that maybe that is exactly what has happened here. For those of you who do not know the ins and outs of this story, Ariana Grande has a new boyfriend, and his name is Ethan Slater. He was starring in Wicked alongside her. She's playing the Good Witch, Glinda, which is so ironic. And Ethan was playing a character known as Bach. Now, Ethan was married, and I believe is now in the process of getting divorced. He was in a 10-year relationship with this young woman right here, and he had just welcomed a child into the world. The child was less than 1 year old, and Ethan Slater decided, I'm going to leave my wife and child for Ariana Grande, probably and presumably because Ariana Grande is a very beautiful woman. She is probably the cream of the crop as far as many men are concerned. So the fact that she even batted an eye at him probably made him want to leave his wife, which can happen if you are easily enticed by women who are out of your league. And I think that's exactly what took place here. And Ariana Grande is known to break up relationships, and it's probably because she, like Lizzo, is in a very big position of power. She is well-known, she is well-liked, she is known to be one of the most attractive females in the United States of America, and she can have whoever she wants. So why not go after people who are already in relationships and really test, really test how beautiful and how attractive we really are by going after men that we supposedly cannot have? Now, is most of the blame meant to be placed on Ethan Slater here? Absolutely, right? He's the one who took the vows. He's the one who had the child. He's the one who is now, you know, created a dumpster fire of a relationship and probably soiled what could have been a very strong relationship with his child. But Ariana Grande also had her hand in this, and that should not be denied. There was some images of old posts that this man's wife had put on the internet of him, of their child, and Ariana Grande, who was in an affair with this man, had the audacity to like her Instagram posts about their relationships.
Wild.
That's crazy. If I am this woman, I would be livid. Livid. I don't even know where to begin. And of course, more livid towards him than towards her, but oh my goodness. What a snake. Those are my thoughts.
Look, I finally finished watching Succession last night, found the finale, which was very, like, not very satisfying. But I feel like this story has me in the same energy of it's a lot of bad people on both sides of the equation, and there's no good guy to root for. I guess maybe the child and the mom that was abandoned in this situation. But I do. I think, for one, as a man, as a married man, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, if you can't. Like, he has a degree of fame himself, but you have a 10-year marriage and a child, and you can't, you know, stave off the urge to get your 5 seconds of fame or whatever with Ariana Grande. Like, I'm sorry. Just no excuse. There's so much riding on you as a man, and you just have to have the fortitude to not fall to that, because, you know, her history, her dating history, the song she writes, just her whole reputation when it comes to men. Like, she doesn't, it's not going to be you for long term. This isn't going to end well for you if you go down this route. It's clearly like a moment, a temptation thing, and it's just weak sauce to give into that. And for Ariana, it's like, I mean, par for the course, whatever. You kind of expect someone who has her track record to maybe act this way, but it's still not a good thing, and especially pernicious when you're, you know, kind of almost teasing or poking fun at the wife whose life you ruined, and by extension, the child whose father you now have not taken away, but, like, you know, we've broken up the child's opportunity for a two-parent household, at least two biological parents. And, you know, it's just an ugly situation all around. It could have been avoided just by following a little bit more common sense, having some self-restraint, and just being a little wiser. But I guess that's too much to ask for these days.
Dude, this is rough. Like, I'm just imagining being in this woman's position of, you've just had a child with this guy. Like, I get it if you're married for an extended period of time with no children and someone cheats, then you can just be like, okay, bye. You know, I've wasted some years of my life, and that really sucks. But now you have a child with the person who decided to do this. And it's like you said, Taylor, it's like this moment of temptation from somebody who presumably you think is better than the person that you're with. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that I could do better than my wife, which, let's make it abundantly clear, Ariana Grande is probably not better than your wife, right? You just probably think that she's more attractive. Clearly she lacks morals and character, so she is not better than the person that you were with. But you've convinced yourself that, oh, I can climb the ladder based on where I'm at now. And maybe you're not going to climb the ladder after this. And I think what he might be failing to realize is that, like, not only is your relationship with your wife and your child over after this, and your child is going to grow up and at some point become privy to this information, but your career is over now. It's not like you're going to go after this and, like, be rebooked in movies, and people are going to want to make your music anymore, and you know, people are going to want to support you. Is Ariana Grande's career over after this? Absolutely not. She's going to go on to do whatever it is that she wants, go on to break up whatever other relationship she wants to break up, and you are just going to be left in the dust because you decided to be weak and take this moment. I don't understand why, as a man, you wouldn't just be like, if I'm in this situation, I'd be like, yeah, oh, Ariana Grande's attracted to me. That would be enough. Just be like, oh, that's cool. I'm not going to indulge in that, but at least I know, like, wow, this girl who's, you know, attractive to the rest of the world is attracted to me. That's fine. Cool. I'm in a 10-year relationship, though, and we just had a kid, so I'm going to, you know, go back to where I belong. Nope.
Yeah, you'd think. It's just, I guess it's like losing perspective in a moment of temptation thing. As you're talking and thinking about this story, I'm reminded of, there's a story in the Bible of Jacob and Esau and their twin brothers. Esau's the older twin brother. Jacob's the younger one. Esau's due to get all the inheritance from the father. But one day Esau goes out hunting and he's really hungry when he gets back. And Jacob had prepared his favorite meal or whatever. And he was like, you can have this bowl of soup, but you have to give me your birthright. And Jacob is like so famished. He's like, what good is my birthright if I'm dead? Like, just give me the bowl of soup and I'll be good. And so they make that exchange. And now he's given up his entire inheritance just for a bowl of soup. And when you look at a situation like this, you have a 10-year marriage, you have your fatherhood, your relationship with your child, all that at stake, and you gave it up for a moment of fleeting temporary pleasure or just fulfillments and some for of some, you know, sense of vanity or whatever that you had. And again, I mean, this just my Christian brain going off here, but I think in Proverbs it talks, there's a passage that talks about the seductive woman that will devour you and then wipe her mouth and say, what's wrong with that? And that's, you know, and not to say that all women are like that or anything, but like, this is in one of those cases where, dude, you got to be prepared for those situations in life and like have, you know, do whatever preparation you have to do morally to be able to stand when you're faced with those situations. And it's, I know it's like often easier said than done, but like, that's what having character is. And unfortunately he failed the test. And that's not to say there's no path to redemption or, you know, a way to go forward from here, but you know, it is what it is and you got to own it.
Yeah. You got by a succubus. This is what happened to you. She's going to go on. Her career is going to be fine. He is probably not going to be fine after this. It's crazy. And all the people who are coming out saying, Ariana Grande stole my boyfriend from me. And like, I guess that apparently is what happened with Mac Miller and Big Sean and all these other men that she has dated were previously with someone else. And then the girl they told you not to worry about is apparently Ariana Grande in all of these cases, which that comes with like celebrity and elitism, right? I think you hear about these elites who are doing some of the craziest stuff you've ever heard of. And it's because at a certain point, like regular stuff doesn't do it for you anymore, right? You have to aim higher. You have to do things that are crazier. You have to get the thing that you supposedly cannot have. And that seems to be what she's been doing. So that's cool. In other news, we're going to talk about Snow White yet again. I've been on a tear when it comes to this goddamn Snow White movie. Okay, guys. They come out and they cast Rachel Zegler as Snow White. I love Rachel Zegler, at least from a professional perspective. I've followed her for quite some time. She is wildly talented. She's a great actress and she's a great singer, but she is not meant to be Snow White. You know, the skin as white as snow is not exactly there when it comes to Rachel Zegler, but nonetheless, she's supposed to be the new Snow White. They say the seven dwarfs are offensive. And Peter Dinklage, who is known as an actor with dwarfism, and best known for his role of Tyrion Lannister in Game of Thrones, comes forward and says, Disney should really consult actors with dwarfism and you know, dwarfism consultants before they allow this stuff in their movies. It is offensive. It is horrible. And Disney goes, you know what? One singular person with one complaint. We're going to listen to you. And we're going to get rid of the seven dwarfs. And we're now going to do the seven magical creatures who are all diversity hires themselves. And this is the new movie that we're going to make. Then Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot start interviewing for Snow White. And they say, you know what? She's not going to be saved by the prince anymore. She's not interested in true love, which is the whole premise of the entire movie. We're getting rid of that, right? Because it's old and it's dated and we no longer want to see that here. And now, in the wake of the whole SAG-AFTRA, you know, protest and strike on behalf of actors and, you know, the writer strike, here is Rachel Zegler talking about what she is owed by virtue of playing Snow White.
If I'm going to stand there 18 hours in a dress of an iconic Disney princess, I deserve to be paid for every hour that it is streamed online.
What a lovely attitude. She says, if I'm going to stand in a dress for 18 hours of an iconic Disney princess, I deserve to be paid for every hour that it is streamed online. Now, I'll be the first to say, I don't know the ins and outs of the payment for these actors. I don't know the ins and outs of the royalty system for these actors, which seems to be what they are complaining about the most. But the amount of entitlement that is just being oozed from all of the individuals we've spoken about today, that your tough job of standing in a snow white dress for a number of hours a day is what you deserve more and more payment for, when I believe her net worth is now in the millions from less than five films, I believe, that she's done so far, at least in the category of like major motion pictures. So it just blows my mind. And to be honest, there is not a single bit of a show, a movie, or anything that I've seen really in the last 5 years that made me think these people need to be paid more. This writing deserves higher payment. I'm sorry, but I just haven't felt that way. And again, I don't know the logistics here of what they're being paid. They might actually have a big claim to being paid more, but I can tell you that I wouldn't have felt that way had they not come forward and complained about it.
Yeah, just really doubling down on the unlikability factor. You'd think that maybe after some of the social media backlash she got for gloating over how they've changed the entire story of Snow White and how, you know, she is kind of the race swapped casting of Snow White, which, you know, I guess that's not her fault or whatever, but you know, you'd think that maybe she wants to tread a little bit more lightly and show some respect and deference to the story, the original story, and just kind of, you know, appease fans a little bit. Nope, just coming out with this sweeping, like, just attitude of entitlement, not just for the role she gets, but also for just being paid. And it's like, why are you even worried about yourself getting paid when I thought this was about standing up for the little guy, the writers who are on the teams that we never see their mm-hmm. their faces or see their names or whatever. And, you know, those are the people that this is really about, and advocating for them, advocating for the actors who don't get the A-list castings and aren't having their faces put on billboards, but still right. deserve to be paid appropriately. And instead it's like, it's about you and the dress. It's just, again, not a good look. And, especially, it's like similar to Lizzo. You've been so vocal and so out there, and then you're just undermining it with stuff like this. So, definitely not going to have an early ticket purchase for Snow White coming out. That's for sure.
No, definitely not. And I just don't understand how this can continue. Like, I don't. At what rate can you continue to do this with people just saying, please don't, please don't, please don't allow this, and please maybe just don't let her interview anymore. We don't want to hear it anymore. And they're like, no, here's another movie. Here's another one. Here's another one. And I just don't understand where they're getting the idea that they need to remake these movies if they hate the source material. Where is your love and respect or reverence for the thing that you are recreating? Or are they recreating it just to farm money out of people who want to see more from Disney, and they truly have no respect for, you know, the giants that stood and you know, walked so that they could run? It must be the latter of the two, because it does not make any sense. The math is not mathing. We did get a $50 super chat that I must read immediately here. It's from Jacob Lenke. He says, loved what you said, Amla and Taylor, about this. I mean, clearly not a smart move for Ethan, talking about Ethan Slater. Yeah, redemption is possible, but it's sad that people of influence engage in this behavior. I'm grateful that people of influence like you guys exist. Jacob, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I bet there's going to be a lot of men like that are like, we totally understand, bro. If Ariana Grande winked at me, I'd wink right back at Ariana Grande. And I think there's an element of that. But I'm just like, are you guys really that weak? Are you really that weak? Can you not stand right. up for yourselves?
Well, that's what the alpha male sort of, you know, the manosphere is promoting, this view of masculinity that is, you're strong if you can, you know, attract all these girls and bang them and leave them behind, whatever. And like, no, you're strong if you can like withstand temptation and build a family and be loyal and create a stable environment for your children and stay there for them and be there for them and be present and raise them and be a strong leader for your family and provide for them. Like, those are the things we should be celebrating. Mm-hmm. Traditionally we did. And yet, you know, the manosphere and our culture is so confused nowadays that we have that reversed, and you just see more and more stuff like this happening.
Yeah, I want to see what the recovery looks like for this. I don't think he has the PR team that Ariana Grande has. I don't think he's got the funds for that. What were you saying, Spence?
No, I was saying, if you took vows, you've been following him for 10 years, hopefully.
Yeah.
Just because Ariana Grande looked at you or said something, like, that is not
right.
how you should approach your marriage. Also, he's never going to get married again without that woman being like, huh, if you already cheated on his ex-wife once.
Right.
Let's see what happens with me.
Yeah, we'll see. He shouldn't get married again, honestly. I'm like, you already did it once. You've already created a child that you've effectively, you know, left out of the equation here. you should have your your right to redo that revoked. You should not be allowed to do that not again. Pass.
The next girl he proposes to is going to be like, thank you, next.
Exactly. We should have thrown in. We had a great opportunity for many puns on this episode that we did not take. And I apologize for that. Next time we will work more diligently to do that. But yeah, I mean, he's going to have a redemption arc like no other. But I mean, again, he's not that famous. Nobody's going to be around to see it.
I've never heard of the guy.
The most famous he's ever been is sleeping with Ariana Grande. So.
I mean, that SpongeBob Broadway role is pretty coveted, right? But
it is. Who would have thought? Anyways, guys, let's get into Super Chats here.
Alrighty, guys. Get them in if you haven't. Let's see. First one today comes from Clinicals. I don't know how to say that, but says, if you're so fat that Lizzo of all people is shaming you, then it's time to consider weight loss treatment of some kind. See it as a wake up call.
You see, I just don't think, I don't know. Rude. I don't know what, how
I've seen the picture of the dancers. They're not as big as Lizzo.
They're not as big as Lizzo. Just,
but even so, yeah, I think that should be the least of your concerns if you're being shamed by your employer like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on here. Again, we're just going to wait it out and see. You know, oftentimes allegations are made and we don't have the full details of the story. What was happened recently? This is really small, but that whole video that went viral of Cardi B throwing the mic at, you know, one of the lady who threw water at her, right? And then everybody was like, oh my gosh, like that lady threw water at her. How disgusting. She deserved to have the mic thrown at her. And then you get one more little bit of context where Cardi B is saying like, splash water on me, throw your water at me and all this stuff. And it changes the entire story. So I will allow room for this story to completely change. But so far, it's just not looking great.
Alex Centeus, what's up, man? Says, hey there, gang. Guys, let's get those likes up. Yeah, guys, if you haven't liked the stream, please do.
Please do.
Oh, by the way, I can't stand Lizzo whatsoever, but I'd take her over that garbage No Name 1974 band any day, LOL.
Whatever, guys. Whatever. They had their own little bit of drama that I could have covered on the show where they pulled some leftist stuff at a concert in Malaysia and got the entire music performance, like the entire thing shut down, and there was multiple performers who were supposed to play and stuff like that. Could have spoken about it, but no. Well, there'll be more. I'm sure there'll be more. They are so woke, it hurts me.
You get enough 1975 hate as it is. You don't need to tee the audience up for more.
Exactly.
If you're new here, Amala likes 1975, it's her favorite band, and the super chatters always tease her about that. Michelle G says, Ariana has a type and it's creepy since her type looks like her brother. There's a comparison making the rounds from pointing this out.
I did see that, and it is kind of crazy. Ethan and Frankie.
Yikes.
I want you guys to
Davidson.
Hold up.
How much they look alike. That is kind of uncanny. It's that's her brother Frankie, and that is Ethan. So,
and even when he like dyes his hair a certain color too, like more red.
Yeah.
It's just like him.
Sigmund Freud is he's cackling.
So many things I don't want to know and see on this show. But hey, we're doing it for the people, for the culture. Let's see. Alex again says, I don't even like Ariana. She's hotter than Lizzo at least, but I'd still choose AG over that 1975 stack of trash. Sorry, Alma, but I had to.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, just relentless.
A lot of hate
today. Just relentless.
Now it's just getting ugly. Franklin says, Zegler was cast as the role for the purpose of white erasure. It seems almost every movie that comes out now is about pushing the anti-white narrative.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, they do not want more white representation in films whatsoever. Like, y'all seen your time. I'm sorry. It's over now. Any character that they can switch, they will switch. And they've done it with Snow White. And I'm curious to see how the movie performs. I think it's going to be released in 2024. So we'll see. I have a feeling it's going to be another box office flop. Little Mermaid at least had, you know, like there's a lot of love for The Little Mermaid, and I think that transcended anything that they could have possibly done with the movie, and they didn't put a strong foot forward in terms of marketing when it came to saying, we are going to make a woke version of this film. With Snow White, they're really putting their politics at the forefront and making it very clear the intention that they have with this film, and it doesn't have as much of, you know, that deep-seated love, I think, that The Little Mermaid has. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And we've talked about on the show several times, like, Disney's had a string of box office flops. And, you know, if you're trying to make money, like, maybe tone down some of the stuff that's alienating people and causing your movies to not do well. And they just seem to be doubling down on this Snow White one. So it's almost strange. And I don't know if that's just like a Rachel Zegler thing or if that's like the studio at large is just saying F it, but they're literally like talking about selling off ABC and other properties owned by Disney right now. Mm-hmm. ESPN is struggling financially. So it's just a mess. And you'd think that you'd do the most financially smart thing, which would be to appeal to everybody like you used to, but they still have yet to learn that lesson, evidently.
Yep.
Alex again says, most women like guys who can cheat or are taken. Women mostly don't want guys who can't get other women. Good take, Taylor, in reference to AG.
Yeah. Do I think that's what Ethan Slater's wife had in mind when she married him? Like, this guy can get Ariana Grande? I don't think that is what...
Mr. Studio Girl.
I don't think that is what initially attracted. Do I think that that rule in general is true? That women are trying to find the most sought-after guy? Absolutely, I think that's true. And with that, I guess you constantly run the risk of being cheated on. Do I think that's what happened in this case? I don't know.
Who knows? All right. Wade says, just checking, what are the religion/lack thereof of all three of you? I'm Christian, non-denominational, I guess, Christian. Anomalous, non-religious.
Yep. And Spencer?
Non-dom Christian as well.
Non-dom.
Oh, non-dom. I didn't know there was lingo.
Non-dom. D-nom. Alex again says, oh my gosh, she's just piling on the 1975. Hey, do I even read this?
You know what, Alex, you're cut off.
You're cut off. That's enough. Two swings at 1975. We're going to call a limit there. But he says, by the way, good shows like your guys deserve more likes. Come on now. So he is hyping us up.
Thank you.
At the same time, he's poking fun at you.
It just cancels each other out, Alex.
Yep. And I think that's our last super chat of the day.
Okay, great. Guys, thank you so much for watching this show. Let me know your thoughts on the Lizzo news down below, how you feel about Ariana Grande and Ethan Slater, and the recent comments from our now new Snow White from Disney. Drop your thoughts down below. As always, we encourage healthy debate in the comments down below, so duke it out, but do so respectfully. And please, as Alex said, like this stream. Also, subscribe. Click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That is 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Plus, we post video for you guys every single day. Tomorrow's video is going to be kind of crazy. Taylor sent me this article, and it sent me spiraling down an internet rabbit hole that I had no business being in. But I'm going to tell the story, take you guys on the journey with me. It's insane. So keep an eye out for the video that's coming out tomorrow. Can't wait for you guys to see it. And that's it. I'll see you all tomorrow. Bye, guys.